A look at some numbers on public health in our part of Northern California can be downright alarming. Life expectancy itself seems to be declining. All the counties in our end of the state except Del Norte show a major increase in death rates among middle-aged whites. That's one of several findings. There's plenty to take in a report called Why Are Death Rates Rising Among Whites in California? It is subtitled The Role of Stress-Related Conditions. The report comes from the Center on Society and Health at Virginia Commonwealth University, VCU, where we find the principal author, Dr. Stephen Wolf, both MD and Master of Public Health. Thanks for joining us today, Dr. Wolf.
It's a pleasure. Good morning.
Was there some statistical anomaly or something else that caught someone's eye that started this research?
Well, what's happening in California is happening all across our country. We have been experiencing a decrease in life expectancy in the United States for the past 2 years, and this follows a much longer period of time where the increase in life expectancy that we had been enjoying in this country for decades has been slowing. And what we're finding is that one of the reasons for that is that in the white population, death rates have been climbing, especially from specific causes of death. The California Endowment look into this more specifically in California, and we identified the problem that you just reported.
All right, so you say that the past 2 years, the rates are actually rising. Is it an issue across the country?
Yeah, it is a problem across the country. We are seeing that among middle-aged whites, and in our research, it starts as young as people in their 20s, there has been an increase in death rates. Mind you, in industrialized countries around the world, including the United States, the trend for decades has been a gradual decrease in death rates and an increase in life expectancy due to advances in medicine and public health. This change for middle-aged whites caught everyone's attention 2 or 3 years ago and has prompted us to try to understand where this is happening and why it's happening.
Well, I think that the knee-jerk reaction from a lot of people might be to say, well, it must be the opioid epidemic, and you do address that very squarely. You say the opioid crisis is the tip of an iceberg. What's the rest of it?
Well, in addition to death rates climbing from drug overdoses, and opioids are a big piece of that, but not the only one. But beyond drug overdoses, we're also seeing an increase in death rates from alcohol-related problems and from suicides, among others. And taken together, we think it's important to step back from the drug crisis, which obviously is getting a lot of attention from our policymakers and the public, and connect the dots and realize that we have a larger issue here of people turning to unhealthy behaviors that we call stress-related conditions. And indeed, we found that the places in California and in other parts of the country where this increase is happening the most are communities that are struggling with very difficult living conditions.
So it sounds like you're trying to be clear here that this is not just an easy write-off like it's just the druggies. I mean, the fact is there's a number of things that are causing people to take up drugs and other avenues for release.
Precisely. And the policy significance of this is that we focus only on opioid-specific solutions like changing the way doctors prescribe painkillers or making it easier for EMS facilities to provide Narcan to reverse drug overdoses and other policies related to drug addiction, which are all urgent and very important, but we miss the larger forest for the trees, we're not really going to solve what's driving these deaths.
I'm looking at the map on the cover of the report, Why Are Death Rates Rising Among Whites in California, and I assume that the larger the up arrow, the larger the issue of death rates rising?
That's right. We found that when you look at the county-specific data, which we went through carefully from 1995 all the way through to the current period, in metro areas of California, LA, the Bay Area, San Diego, and so forth, and most of the coastal counties, we do not see this problem. The problem seems to be concentrated to the Central Valley and the northern rural counties of the state, including your listening area.
Yeah, absolutely. I see Mendocino and Humboldt in here, Shasta and Siskiyou, but not Del Norte for some reason. It seems to be a bit lower. Any idea what causes some of the variations in here?
Well, you have to keep in mind that these calculations are not what we would call statistically robust because they're based on the number of deaths that occur per year. And in counties that don't have real large populations, that number is relatively small, so year-to-year rates can fluctuate quite a bit. It's important not to focus too much on the specific numbers as much as the larger trend, that in that part of the state, we are definitely seeing a problem. The specific rates are going to fluctuate from year to year.
All right. That's a good point to bring up. With lower populations, you can have greater effects with a change in a few individuals. But the fact is that you're showing multiple years of this?
Yeah, this has been going on from the 1990s all the way forward in increasing in severity. The pace of increase of this problem is growing.
Dr. Stephen Wolf is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, MD and Master of Public Health at the Center on Society and Health at Virginia Commonwealth University. Lead author with, it looks like, about eight other people of a report called Why Are Death Rates Rising Among Whites in California? The Role of Stress-Related Conditions. We'll begin to delve into those conditions. And you may have additional questions and observations of your own. We'd like to hear from you at 800-838-3760 over the phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Let's talk specifically about the groups here, because for one thing, there are some internal maps in here that divided up by middle-aged whites and younger than middle-aged whites.
Yeah, the reason we did that is whole interest in this topic arose from a study done by Case and Deaton several years ago that received a lot of media coverage in the New York Times and other outlets that focused on the impact of this problem on middle-aged whites. And although that is a major population that has been impacted by this, we wanted to draw attention to the fact that it is happening to younger people too. And in fact, in folks in their 20s, white adults in their 20s, we are seeing some of the more dramatic increases in death rates, not only from drug overdoses, again, I hasten to emphasize, but also suicides increasing significantly in this population.
How sharply have suicides risen in some of these populations?
Well, I don't have the numbers handy in front of me, but they are substantial. For example, in general, in the middle-aged population in California, we saw a 26% increase in suicides. I don't have the figures handy for folks in their 20s. But these are big increases when you think about the number of people that are actually involved. So relative increases, when I say 26%, that is a relative increase. But in terms of actual numbers, this is more than 7,000 people that died just from the increase in death rates in the period between 2010 and 2014.
Wow. That was the question then, 2010, 2014. So that's a sharp increase. 26% over that amount of time is significant.
Right. And again, connecting these patterns together, why is it that people are taking their lives? Why is it that people are turning to drugs? Why is it that people are turning to alcohol? Our analysis found that the places where the numbers had the most dramatic increases, increases that were much larger than the one I just reported for you statewide, are places that have been struggling with high poverty rates, with stagnant incomes, with unemployment. We think these conditions and maybe other community factors are creating very difficult living conditions that have been going on for some years that may be responsible for people experiencing what some have called deaths of despair.
I noticed that, deaths of despair. So that brings together drug and alcohol abuse and suicides in one essentially non-official category.
Yes, and you know it's become a bit of a term of fashion now in the academic community in terms of trying to understand these. We can't prove for certain that that's the reason that this is happening. We could theorize that each one might have separate explanations, but the likelihood is that these deaths that we're catching are, as we said in the report, the tip of an iceberg. We're talking here just about deaths. We're not measuring disease and illness and disability. So underneath the surface of this iceberg, we think, is a lot of health and illness and injuries and disability that is resulting from the behaviors that are causing these deaths.
Do you have stuff that you're able to correlate with? I mean, did you track things like unemployment rates in county or average income in county, stuff like that?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we did. We basically divided up the state's counties into three buckets. We included in one category the counties that had not seen this problem, where death rates in whites had fallen like they do in the rest of the world. And then in the other two categories, we had counties that were moderately impacted by this increase in death rates, and then the counties that were most severely impacted. And when you graph out those three lines for income, employment, and poverty, you see a predictable pattern that the counties that have been most severely impacted, where we see the death rates climbing the most, are the ones that have the highest unemployment rates, the highest poverty rates, and the lowest income, in some cases dating back to the 1960s, that we actually have tracked these counties all the way back then, that even from that point forward, they have consistently been on the short end of the stick economically.
During that time, though, I mean, if that expanse does go back 50 years then, I mean, is there any indication? So is the death rate then rising gradually, or has it jumped more recently?
The jump really started to take effect in the 1990s, which sets off a whole series of questions about why. What happened that at that point things started to take a turn for the worse? Social scientists are looking at this, economists, and I can share some of the theories. None of them have been proven yet, but they definitely produced a trend. And you know, the analysis we did in California was the first of a series that we've done. So we wondered whether this was an anomaly, that we might not find the same pattern in other states, but that's not the case. In every state we've looked at, the same thing has happened. Starting in the 1990s, this increase began.
OxyContin hit the market about 1995. Is there a direct correlation with that year moving forward?
Well, again, it would be, in a way, tempting to blame it all on the opioids,
sure.
And certainly that didn't help matters. But the fact that we also saw increases in deaths from alcoholism and suicide starting at that time, it makes it suggest that this is something larger. And just to be careful and cautious about it, we wondered whether the increase in suicides was simply drug overdoses that were misclassified as suicides, and that maybe this increase in suicides that we were observing was an artifact, a spillover effect from the drug problem. But it turns out that the most common form of suicides, and certainly the one that increased the most, was not drug-related suicides, but hangings. Not to be too morbid about it, but the form of suicide that was the most dominant increase in the state did not involve drugs at all.
Well, a lot to take in this report, obviously. Stephen Wolf is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, director of the Center for Society and Health at Virginia Commonwealth University, and the lead author of a report, Why Are Death Rates Rising Among Whites in California? The Role of Stress-Related Conditions. You can join the conversation on Exchange. Lots of questions still to be asked here and some observations, and maybe you have some of your own from your own life if you live in the area we're talking about. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I do want to point out, I mean, why are death rates rising among whites in California can certainly probably flame a few people, but you'd take an aside in the report to address non-whites. How do the death rates compare, Dr. Wolf?
Well, there's an interesting story here. It's actually a bit of a complex subject to talk about, and a delicate one as well, because populations of color have historically had much higher death rates. African Americans and Native Americans, in particular, for generations, have had much higher death rates than whites. So we typically think of the white population as the comparison group for pointing out the severity of health disparities. And it's important to emphasize that even with this increase in death rates among whites, those rates are still lower than rates for African Americans, who are about 1.2 times as likely to die a premature death than whites. But that said, when we looked at the data between 1995 and 2014, this time period that we were examining, we saw no evidence of an increase in mortality among middle-aged African Americans, Hispanic, Latino, Native American, or Asian populations during that time period. That finding has been made by other groups and led to a whole series of questions about why that might be. If, for example, we believe that this increase among whites is a set of deaths of despair, as we call them, due to economic difficulties, those economic difficulties have been borne for generations by populations of color, and yet why is it that we don't see an increase in suicides or drug overdoses in that population? And there have been a number of theories around resilience and so forth that I could go into to explain why that might be. But I should add that recent data coming out in the last year or two is now showing what I have called a canary in the coal mine phenomenon, which is that what we have been seeing in whites is now beginning to show up in other populations. So we are now seeing dramatic increases in death rates from drug overdoses in the black population and in the Hispanic population that we had not been seeing just 2 or 3 years ago.
All right. So things do change and change rather rapidly, apparently. Let's take a call here from Connie in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Dr. Stephen Wolf.
Greetings. I very much appreciate the topic and the research done on this. As a person in Oregon, I know that as I watched us in our, what was for us a Great Depression starting in 1980 with a loss of logging and fishing jobs and a great collapse we had here, mm-hmm. is I saw the beginning of the destruction of what would be the Northern California or Oregon dream, that for a working person you could find a job on a farm, a ranch, you could get a job fishing, you could work in a mill or a logging operation.
And join the middle class right out of high school.
Well, working class, mm-hmm. yeah. But, I mean, you know, they were working people or middle class people, and this collapsed. And I saw it in the 80s, and I saw also this out-migration. And we talk about the fact that we're gaining population, but we had an enormous out-migration of working people in the 80s because there were no jobs here. So now we have a generational situation, and that's what I'm wondering about, is that people my age would have been 30 at the time, the boomers, we experienced the downturn. But, of course, those people had children and now grandchildren, and so now we have a generational poverty situation in our rural areas, and it's still a lack of employment, good wage employment for a working person. So, I mean, it's, not to speak of hillbilly elegy and all that sort of thing, but it's a generational phenomenon in our rural areas here on the West.
Right. Thanks very much for bringing that in, Connie. We appreciate it. Dr. Wolf, your perspective?
Well, I mean, Connie's hitting on a very important point here, which is, in fact, one of the major theories that have been brought forward for why this might be happening in the white population, and a potential explanation for why it did not occur in other racial and ethnic groups. So, you know, the African American and other communities that have been historically disadvantaged for generations, the theory goes, have developed a certain resilience because of their long history of oppression and marginalization. White populations, on the other hand, until recently, and certainly in our parents' generation, were accustomed to some degree of economic security. That, you know, if you graduated from high school and went to work in the case of Oregon in the lumber industry or the timber industry, but in the coal fields of Appalachia or in the steel mills of the Rust Belt, and we're, you know, seeing similar stories across the country, that you can count on a job for life, the factory or the whatever the local industry was that was employing folks in many of these rural communities would provide benefits that would allow you to buy a house, put your kids through school eventually, and to retire with some degree of security. And this was the first generation to have the rug pulled out from under it and to find itself, find that social compact basically abrogated and a sense of hopelessness about getting out. And that is one of the prevailing theories for why this set of behaviors has emerged.
It is not just deaths of despair and you know, things that are more or less self-inflicted. Hypertension increased 150%, it looks like, in this report.
Right. So what we did, what we call a deep dive, looking into these death statistics. I'm a physician, so I was very interested in taking the analysis past the behaviors to look at organ diseases. And we found a dramatic increase in deaths from organ diseases that may be linked actually to these same behaviors that we're talking about. So, for example, you mentioned hypertension. We found several forms of cardiovascular disease that increased in terms of mortality that are known to be linked to alcohol use. This is important because, in general, what we've seen, and it's true in California as well as the rest of the country, during these same years that we're talking about, a drop in heart disease deaths from ischemic heart disease. That's the form of heart disease that causes heart attacks and so forth. So our progress in the prevention and treatment of ischemic heart disease has produced a decrease in death rates from that form of heart disease, and yet this other form of heart disease, hypertensive heart disease, deaths from heart failure and so forth, increased, as well as deaths from arrhythmias, atrial flutter and fibrillation, and others that are abnormal heart rhythms that are also made more common by chronic alcohol use. We found increase in deaths from viral hepatitis, like hepatitis C. This is a disease that's caused by the use of injectable drugs. An increase in deaths from liver cancer, which is brought on, among other risk factors, by viral hepatitis. So what I'm trying to describe here is a set of medical complications that are now causing death that may be traceable back to these stress behaviors.
Just about a minute left. A big chunk of any address here would seem to be beyond the scope of what people with medical and health degrees can do. We're talking changes in politics and economics, I would think.
Yes, but that's precisely the point. The politicians who are up at the podium saying that we have to do something about the opioid epidemic are then turning around and passing bills or budgets that are cutting into those social and economic conditions and making lives worse for many of these communities.
All right. The report is called Why Are Death Rates Rising Among Whites in California? The Role of Stress-Related Conditions. It comes out of the Center on Society and Health at Virginia Commonwealth University, VCU, where Stephen Wolf is the director and the principal author of the report. Dr. Wolf, really informative stuff. Thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
My pleasure. Thanks for including me.
Sure. Take it easy.